we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners today. The year 2001 marks the 65th year of our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There's an old saying that you can do anything that you set your mind to do. Do you believe that? We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the blessings that you shower upon us and that you're anxious to have us work in your kingdom. We pray, O God, that we may learn from your word that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Help us, O God, to see that if we will but make ourselves available, you will use us to do great things for your kingdom. So, Lord, speak to us this day through your word and grant us that confidence and that courage to truly make ourselves available right in your hands. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of Joshua, beginning with the first verse. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. you may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of Jordan. And soon the pursuit was unavailable, for the gate was shut. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Take my
friends in Christ, there's an old saying that goes something like this: you can do anything that you set your mind to do. I don't believe that. For example, I believe that God has given us certain talents, and we can do great things within the realm of where our talents are. I can assure you that I could have taken voice lessons for my entire life, and I would never have been asked to sing in the Metropolitan Opera. I could have practiced and practiced under some of the best coaches in the world, and I don't believe that I would ever have played professional baseball. Not that I didn't want to. I would love to have done that, but it just was not my talent. And while I don't believe that just setting your mind up to do something, you can do it no matter what it is, I do believe that there are many things we can do if we will make ourselves available, and when we do, life gets very exciting. Let me tell you a story of a lady who has got my interest. This person was converted in midlife to the Christian faith. She was a very verbal, vocal person, still is, and she loved to talk to people about her relationship with the Lord and what Jesus Christ had done for her. She was employed in our congregation as the housekeeper. It's a large building, and so she hired university students to help her in the cleaning of the church. It was sparkling clean. But that was not the only thing that this woman did. She had these university students around her, many of them during the course of the years, and she witnessed to them about what Christ had done for their lives. She was not ashamed at all, and many of those who worked for her were touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It became a real ministry for her. When it came time for her to retire and move to the sunny south, especially in the wintertime, She hesitated to do it because she did not know how she would get along without that ministry to the students. But finally she did. Now she's tucked away down in the South in a cozy place for a while, and she has learned that there are opportunities too. She's in one of those trailer courts, and there she has met many wonderful people who love the Lord, and they gather together for Bible studies, and they reach out to others. She tells her friends here that a new ministry could be developing, this time not with youth, but perhaps with the elderly who draw closer to the grave. In other words, here is a person who will always have something to do for the Lord, because she is one of those people who will always make herself available. If we are reluctant, then of course the Lord cannot do much with us. But if we are there ready to do what he asks us to do, there's no end to what can be done. That's why I like the person Rahab. Rahab was an individual who made herself available to the Lord. Now you may ask, who is Rahab? And I could almost get embarrassed telling you, but let me assure you that she turns out all right. Rahab was a lady who lived in Jericho. And according to the word of God, she was a prostitute. Now you recall that Joshua was going to bring the forces of Israel into Canaan, and that was going to be the promised land. Well, they were about ready to march in with the armies, but they wanted to get the lay of the land. So Joshua sent two spies into Jericho specifically, the first city that he wanted to attack in Canaan, and there he discovered how armies could best fight. The spies got the information that they wanted, but they knew that they were being hunted for. So they went into the home of Rahab the prostitute. It wasn't long before the king, and every city had a king of its own, the king heard that the spies had gone to Rahab's house. So he sent a message saying, "Give us the spies. They have come to look over the whole land and how best they could attack us when they do come with their armies." And then it was that Rahab said, "That is true. These men did come, but I did not know where they were from. And so I told them that they better get going, that the gate closed at dusk and it would not be long before dusk would be there." She had really told a lie. She had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. There they were hidden. But the men did not find them, so on their way they went out of the city gate. It was closed, and they went seeking them in the mountain area. In the meantime, Rahab was about to have a talk with these men. After all, she wanted to cut a deal if she could, and she did exactly that. She said, "Now look, I have cooperated with you, and I will continue to cooperate with you in seeing that you get into this promised land, because I know that your God is a God both of heaven and this earth. I also know very well that you're going to conquer our land, and we are very afraid of what's going to happen. Now, because I have protected you, when you and your armies come, when you invade this land, will you make sure that I and my family are taken care of?" When these men promised that they would take care of Rahab, she let them out the window. The Bible tells us that her apartment was on the city wall. So she got a large rope, let them go down the rope, and when they were safely there on the ground, then she just had to wait. The message got to Joshua as to exactly what had happened, where they could best attack. And so the armies were on the way. They crossed the Jordan River, and there they waited for a little bit until they got word from the Lord. They were to invade that area. They were to walk around the city of Jericho for 6 days, one time a day. And then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times, and when the trumpets blew, the walls would fall down. This is exactly what happened. But Rahab was spared. And it says that she repented of her past sins, and the Bible says that she lives among the Israelites to this day. If you read the genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew, you learn that she is included. In other words, in the flesh. As far as his physical birth was concerned, Jesus could move in the genealogy back to the person of Rahab. She was converted. She left her evil way. She turned to the Lord. She served him. She made herself available, and the results were that in a very crucial time when God really needed her, he used her in a marvelous way. Friend, this tells us in a powerful way. It matters not what our past had been. God can forgive that. If we will turn to the Lord and make ourselves available, he will turn that life around. In Jesus Christ, he will forgive us our sins, and in Jesus Christ, he will begin to make us new people to be his servants in the kingdom of God. God has a place for all of us. Rahab was not a Moses. She did not have the ability to lead the people out of Egypt. Neither was she a Joshua. She did not have the ability to lead the people into the promised land. She was a prostitute who, even after her life had been changed, could not shed the title. You see, God forgives, but the world does not seem to forget. There she was in that crucial hour, just where God wanted her to be, her unique place, a woman whose life was available to God. There is a unique place in the kingdom of God for every one of us. No question about it. There is someone, friend, that we can deal with better as far as Jesus Christ and a relationship with him is concerned than anybody else. Let me tell you of something that I am noticing week by week. On Sunday mornings, I generally go to a place very near to where I live and conduct a morning worship service for a brother pastor who is seriously ill. I love that man, and I have been blessed with the great, great faith that he has. One day I was asking him, what is it that really gives you encouragement? Well, he said, of course, it's my family and it's a word of God and prayer and all the rest. But he said, let me tell you, there's a handicapped person in our congregation. And this handicapped man has a very, very strong, simple faith in the Lord Jesus. One day he came to the pastor, who was very sick, and said to him, Pastor, I've talked to Jesus, and you're not going to die soon. He said, you know, those words comfort me. Whether that prophecy is right or not, I don't know. But the sincerity of that person is exactly what I need at this time. Here is a man who makes himself available and comes to his pastor and gives that word of encouragement. God has a place for all of us. No, I don't believe that if I make up my mind to do something that I can always do it. But I believe that if I make myself available to the Almighty God, that he will have something exciting for me to do. I'd like to give you my testimony. I don't always like to talk about myself, and I don't believe that that's always the best as far as preaching is concerned. But I want to share this with you. As a young man, I was spiritually awakened and led into a personal relationship with the Lord. One day, as I perhaps have told you before, and perhaps will tell you again, I was reading John 15:5. It's that marvelous word of Jesus, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I was concerned about where my life was going and what I was going to do. My prayer that day was certainly empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I give my life to you. Use me. I am available. Well, the days went by and I finally landed at college and then on into seminary. I was an average student. I don't think any of the professors said, well, we better send him on to graduate school that he can get his doctor's degree and he can come back and be a professor at the seminary. I was an ordinary person who loved the Lord Jesus and loved people. So I made it through school. After my ordination, I was sent to a church with 315 members in southwest Iowa. They were lovely people. They loved my wife and me. They encouraged us. They helped us in every single way. And so after a few years, we went to another place. I had, by this time, decided that there were three things that a minister had to do in his work. He was to preach the word of God. For Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. So you had to lift him up. You had to prepare that sermon. You had to do the very best job that you could do. Secondly, you really had to teach the word of God. And you had to teach it in such a way that people could lay hold of the gospel as the Holy Spirit worked through that word in their hearts. I was especially concerned that that word would get into the hearts of our young people. The confirmation classes were extremely important to me. What did we see? Well, we see that God honored those things. The third thing that I had to do was to visit the people, to sit in their homes and to share with them the gospel and hear what was on their heart, which became a tremendous help in preparing my sermon. I left, and the little congregation that had 315 people had now over 600 people. And I had discovered that the Lord could use a man who had limited ability, to be sure, but he could use him in a marvelous way in touching lives for him. In the parish that I went to then, it was a little larger. 700 people met me there. Not that numbers are so important, but you begin to see what the Holy Spirit does. Again, it was the same program. Preach the word of God. Teach it to all people and don't forget your kids. And then visit your members in the congregation. I still believe that that is the basic work of the congregation and the basic work of the pastor. Everything else is secondary. Maybe that's too strong a statement that some of you listening to me would not agree with today, but it's my conviction. And once more we heard the power of the Word of God in the hearts and minds and voices of people. So it went on. Pretty soon we built a larger church. And still a larger church. And I came to that place where on a Sunday morning, I had the privilege of standing before 2,000 people, preaching to them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It was a great experience. My point in telling you this is not see what I accomplished. I would have accomplished nothing had it not been for the power of the Holy Spirit. But I say this to you, that I needed to have Rahab in my board of directors. I needed to have her say, look, Abraham told you to trust God. That's right. You trust him. And after that, you make yourself available, and that God will move through you to do marvelous things, and your life will be filled with excitement. So I say to you today, meet Rahab, the prostitute who brought me, and I pray you, a powerful message. Amen.
Jesus, blessed, redeemed.
Father in heaven, we pray that Rahab might truly be our counselor today when she tells us God can use you no matter what the past might have been. Let him first forgive your sin and then let him use you. May we hear that voice coming from your word, and then, Holy Spirit, empower us to make ourselves available in the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service has been a blessing to you. We are a non-profit radio ministry, and it is your prayers and financial support that enable us to worship with you today. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484, and call between Monday and Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and on our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.